Just wanted to remind you that I'm going to be uploading a whole bunch of cool new videos to my YouTube channel. If you haven't smashed the subscribe button, go and check it out. YouTube.com/JeremyWhiteShow. You can just YouTube, like search bar, Jeremy White Show. Guarantee I show up right away. There's tons of old school videos from the podcast up there with Paul Stanley from Kiss, Michael Anthony from Van Halen, Ed Sheeran. It's just all kinds of really fun stuff. Go up there and check it out right now. Available wherever you YouTube, which is like on YouTube. So yeah, go check it out.
The stars live here.
Are you ready?
On air.
Are you ready?
Online.
Are you ready to have a good time?
On your smart speaker and wherever you stream. Broadcasting from Montreal and around the world.
The Jeremy White Show, available wherever you stream.
Catch up on past interviews and episodes on demand now.
Subscribe so you don't miss any of it.
Hey, by the way, your setup, the most professional of all the interviews I've done this morning.
I love to hear it. Love to hear it.
It looks like the fucking Johnny Carson show or something going on there. It's amazing.
I like to pretend I work at Capitol or something, you know?
Yeah, it's great.
Welcome to Radio X. Here's Billy Morrison.
Hey, guys. How are you?
There we go. What's his name? Chris Moyles in the morning on Radio X, isn't it? That's his name. Love that. I'm a big fan of British, of like UK radio, like London, like Capital and Heart and all those stations, because I've worked on pop radio.
Dude, I haven't lived there in 30 years. Yeah. I have no idea what's going on in radio.
Those are like the big stations over there, and like Chris Moyles is on Radio X.
Yeah.
Capital Breakfast, all that stuff. Yeah.
That's it.
Anyways, look, we'll get right into this. Our next guest has a brand new record coming out. It's his first solo record since, what, 2015? It's like, that was the last one that came out, right? Something like that?
I stopped counting years ago. I just make them when I feel like it.
The Morrison Project coming out on April 19th. You can pre-order it now wherever you get your music. And, of course, the brand new music video for Drowning. Fantastic. This stuff is going to just blow you away. Welcome to the show for the first time. The one, the only, Billy Morrison. How are you?
I'm good, Jeremy. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. I was just checking out the video and like just listening to Drowning and like getting acquainted with the music, and like, this is good stuff. Like
you sound surprised.
No, because I am surprised because I hear a lot of shit these days. Let's be honest.
That's very true.
So if somebody comes with some good rock guitar and like some good production and drums and melody, like, yeah, it's impressive. I mean,
you know what? I'll tell you why I think this album ended up so honest is because I didn't know I was making an album. I really didn't. During COVID, I have a beautiful recording studio in my house, so I did what all musicians do, which is I made music.
Right.
But I was grabbing hip-hop beats and EDM samples and metal guitars and piano ballads, and I was just not making a record. I was just making music. And at the same time, Sharon Osbourne called me and said, "We think you should put Crack Cocaine out as a single." That was already done. That was just a track I wrote with Ozzy and Steve. Mm-hmm. And I realized it's kind of a waste just putting out one track. Let me look at these other musical pieces,
right,
and see if I can turn some of them into songs. So I sang a couple, and I sent one to Corey Taylor, who sounded amazing on it. And that's when I thought, I think maybe I'm doing an album.
Yeah, maybe there's a collection of music here that we could actually do something with.
But it was pure. It was really honest, and not, I wasn't right in thinking I needed a first single and a second single and a closer and all the stuff that bands think about when they're making a record. I wasn't doing that. So I think it has a sense of honesty. It also is 100% a body of work that says, this is Billy Morrison.
Right.
That's all I wanted out of this. I play guitar for Billy Idol. I was in the Cult. I'm part of Royal Machines. I've done a bunch of stuff, but this has my name on the marquee.
Right.
I produced it. I wrote all of it with other people. And the fairy dust that you sprinkle over a record, that's all my fairy dust. So this is the body of work that says Billy Morrison.
Well, that's it. I mean, look, you could easily be sandboxed as, oh, that's just Billy Idol's, you know, rhythm guitar player. Here's the guy that stands behind Steve Stevens. But at the end of the day, you're also a musician. You have creative juices of your own, and you want to do some shit of yourself. And it's like,
well,
you know, why
Steve
not?
I think Steve Stevens would argue that statement.
Oh, yeah.
There's no standing behind Steve. I stand next to Steve, and I know that Steve would support me on that. When I was asked to join the band, they didn't just want a rhythm guitar player. They wanted a twin guitar band,
right,
And that's what they've given me.
But that's the way to do it, right? This way, there's no weirdness. There's no animosity. There's no sort of like, you know, I'm above you. You stand in your little spot in the corner.
Oh, dude, it's the greatest band to be in. I've been in it for 15 years. And Billy and Steve are just the ultimate icons as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, talking about that, I mean, obviously working with Billy Idol for the last 15 years, writing these songs, coming up with all these great stuff. It's like, well, Billy's still putting out music. I mean, like, why not take these and make a Billy Idol record? I mean, like, why did you decide to keep them for yourself?
They're not really Billy Idol songs. The one that Billy sings on the record is, Billy was one of the last guests to be put on the album because I realized I was doing this record where I sang half the record and my friends sang the other half.
Right.
And it was kind of weird when I'm looking at the track list in that Billy, the guy that I play with, was not on it. So I asked him if he wanted to be on it. He said, yeah. And so I dug out a riff that felt good for Billy, mm-hmm. and I sent it to Steve. Steve did some work, changed some stuff around, sent it back. And that was a collaboration between me and Steve that felt right for Billy. Mm. The rest of the songs, they're not Billy Idol songs. I mean, I have a much more aggressive punk rock snarl and disease with the world than Billy does. You know, if you listen to Moni Moni and Eyes Without a Face and Flesh for Fantasy, Billy's that ultimate punk rock Elvis.
Right.
You know, he's an icon. He has that mass appeal. The shit that I write is, you know, I'm not trying to be top 40 or anything. I'm just writing the angst and information overload and disappointment that I see in the world.
Is it essentially
Billy Idol?
Right. I was going to say, like, it's essentially like social commentary in a way.
100%. The album is not, let me think before I speak. The album is 90% not my opinion. Mm-hmm. It is observation.
Right.
I am not singing about what I think should be done or where we're going wrong. It's my observation on the political unrest, the global pandemic, the riots, the financial ruin of so many countries. I'm just observing. Now, there are some moments on the album where I am singing from my heart, the lyrics that I've written. But 90% of it is just, it's a result of going through what the whole world has just gone through.
Right.
And still going through.
We're still dealing with all kinds of different shit these days.
All kinds of shit.
So record's going to be coming out April 19th. You can pre-order it now, The Morrison Project, available wherever you get your music. I guess you're going to do the vinyl, do the CDs, do everything.
Oh, it's all happening. There's multicolored options on the vinyl. There's CDs. The label have been amazing. They just heard the record and got behind it.
Right.
And now it's all happening.
And look, I mean, with the names and guests that you've got on this record, I mean, any label would want to jump on. I mean, like, you got everybody from, you know, Ozzy to Steve Stevens, Linda Perry, Tommy Clufetos, John Five performing on a couple of these tracks. I mean, like, it's quite the fantastic, like, all-star lineup you pulled together.
Yeah, and again, it wasn't by design. I listened to each track and thought, you know, who would be good on this? And I would send it to them. And I think it's a testament to the respect that I give others and that they give me in return,
right,
that every single person I asked not only delivered but killed it.
Yeah I don't think those that list of names that I just mentioned, I don't think they're incapable of not killing it. Really?
No, well you know, everyone's capable of phoning it in if they really want it, but no one did. Every single person just nailed, and I'm grateful to everyone involved.
So talk about the Ozzy collaboration. I mean, like, obviously, it's been well documented. He's been going through some health issues the last couple of years. I mean, is this real Ozzy or is this like AI Ozzy? Like, how did you get Ozzy to work on the track?
Well, it's definitely not AI Ozzy. I mean, Ozzy's my best friend.
Yeah.
And we keep music separated, even though we're both musicians.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a bit awkward? I mean, to go to your buddy, it's like, hey, like, you know, it's kind of weird. Like, he's the Prince of Darkness. He's an absolute legend. No, it's like, do you want to work?
We're both musicians. Jeremy, we're both musicians. So when you're a musician, you make music.
Right.
So I've sat in many hotel rooms with an acoustic guitar and written stuff with him. I had a track on my last album that we wrote together with him. It's been something that we've done on and off. But let me tell you, the world doesn't get AI Ozzy. That guy is the real deal.
Yep.
When we recorded that song, he came round to Steve's, First of all, how you get Aussie to do that is you have an honest relationship with your best friend.
Right.
And Steve and I had written what we believed was the ultimate heavy Aussie track riff.
Yes.
So he's my friend. So I played it to him. Of course I'm going to play it to him. And within seconds, he's like, I want to sing on this. So we bring him round.
Brilliant.
Took him about 20 minutes to write the lyrics, another 20 minutes to sing it because he's real, and he killed it. He just, when that green light goes on, or the red light, whatever studio you're in, he transforms.
Mm.
And it his voice, there is nothing false about that. Makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. And another half an hour later, he's like, right, I'll see you. And it fucked off.
Right. It's amazing to hear that creative side of him, because it's like, you know, you picture Ozzy, you picture the TV show, you picture the Prince of Darkness from, like, just from my perspective, because I mean, like, you know, I grew up watching him on the Osbournes, but I'm also a huge fan of the music, right? So I've always been curious about that. I mean, like, does, like, the switch go off in him when he's in the studio and all of a sudden he gets into the zone and he is Ozzy Osbourne?
Well, you know, it is television.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's television. It's assisted reality. I mean, their show was real, but, and Ozzy's gone through his share of problems, but you don't become Ozzy Osbourne with a 50-year career unless you are something special. So I don't really give a shit how many TV shows or news articles tell the world that he is this, that, and the other. My experience of that man is undeniable icon and one of a kind singer.
Yeah.
And he proves it on Crack Cocaine.
Crack Cocaine. Steve Stevens on there. You got Tommy Clufetos on drums. I mean, it's a power jam.
It's a power jam.
I mean, that's the best way I could describe it. It's freaking awesome.
It is. It's a power jam. And wait till you see the video. The video is insanely cool.
Do you think you'll take this out on the road at some point, play these songs live with a cool little lineup? Or
I've been asked that a few times. It's impossible to tour it because I can't sing Chasing Shadows like Linda Perry, right, or Crack Cocaine like Ozzy Osbourne.
Well, look, that's when the playback rig comes into play.
Oh, hell no. None of us do that.
That's
shit.
So
none
punk rock. You're bringing up Pro Tools.
None of us do that shit. If it ain't real, I don't want to do it. However, if there is someone out there that has deep pockets and a desire to put a one-off show in Madison Square Gardens or the Forum, I'll make the phone calls.
Fuck it. Dude, that would be amazing. You just play this record in its entirety. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
plus a few covers.
Yeah.
Plus Crazy Train and, you know, a couple of other songs will be good.
Train kept the roll in, you know, a little bit of the fun stuff.
I can see it now.
So you were saying that you got a beautiful recording studio in your house. Obviously, I'm guessing it's digital based at this point. You're running Pro Tools. Talk about guitars. What are you using rig wise? I mean, are we tracking tube amps? Are you going fractal and like neural DSP? Talk a little bit about your rig.
This is going to sound horrible, but I have all of it. I have a fractal, a Kemper, and a neural. And then I also have a load reactor, a two note load reactor. So I have heads. Real heads.
Oh yeah.
I'm obviously not recording on a 24 track tape.
No.
I use Pro Tools and Logic, but the whole of this solo album, apart from drums, was recorded in my house.
Right.
All of it.
Wow.
So you
aside know, from like Steve Stevens, like you probably did it at his place, or did he come over to yours?
No, people like that. So I would write all the tracks, all the programming, keyboards, and I would program drums. Then I'd send the track out to a drummer,
yep.
Tommy Clufetos, Eric Eldenius, Roy Mayorga. They drum on it, send it back. And then, yeah, I would send Steve a track because he's got a great studio.
Yep.
Other people came here. You know, it's everyone's got good studios these days.
Yeah.
So doing this kind of thing is easy. It's easy to record. It's not easy to put together cohesively like I did.
Yeah. Well, you got to have a captain of the ship, right? You got to be able to steer this thing.
Yeah, I'm steering it with one hand.
So talk about why the quad cortex is better than all that other gear that you used.
Well, I didn't say it was better.
No, I did.
So Steve and I both use the neural quad cortex for our B rigs.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes when your big A rig is in America and your next gig's in Brazil, you got to send a B rig down there ahead of time.
Yeah.
So we use them, and they're very, very good. Our sound guy likes it better when we use the neural because it's more controllable, you know.
And it's consistent every night.
And it's consistent every night. I think they all have their strengths and weaknesses. I think the neural is by far the best live unit. I use the Fractal a lot in the studio, but I also use, I have a Friedman head and a Friedman modded Marshall and a CAE head, real heads, that I run through a two node. So I have the luxurious option of being able to do whatever I want to do to get the sound that I want. But this new modeling is amazing. Oh, all of it.
It's ridiculous just how accurate you know, if you're modeling, you know, I play 5153s. I'm a guitar player too. And it's like, Ed's amps, I just think they're amazing. But
Steve Stevens and I arrived at LAX to go and do a whole South American tour with our rig in a flight case.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Here it is. We're going to tour South America with this.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get the TSA. They're amazing. Like, what is this?
Yeah. Very cool.
But yeah, some of that modeling, I mean, like, even the presets that people make, like within the community, you could just go download all kinds of shit. And it's just like, it's amazing, like how the stuff sounds. You could even take.
And it's not really the heads. Where the magic comes in is
it's the
cabinet IR
and
mic placement, because that's what really is giving the front of the house. Anyone, look, if it was just about the head and the head, a pod would do it. But there's a reason why a pod sounds like a pod and a neural sounds like Metallica.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the speaker cab IRs and the ambience that they've got going on that is so spot on.
Yeah. And you can really meticulously go in there and do surgery and dialing in, you know, mic placement on the cone. It's like, you know, you'd use a G12 versus a greenback. And it's like,
Someone else can. I'm not going to do that shit.
Well, hey, you got to get that guitar tech to get in there and on the laptop.
That's what I do. Make it sound like this.
What guitars did you mainly use to track this record? Did you have one that you gravitate towards all the time, or?
So I just recently put out a signature guitar with Nags.
Okay.
And
what's Nags?
Nags is a cut. If you're a guitar player, you need to Google. Nags is who Steve Stevens used.
Okay.
And
I know Steve's got his like signature Gaudin guitar and stuff. Like he was playing Gaudin guitars at some point because their factory's not far from Montreal.
Gaudin are for the acoustics.
Acoustics, yeah. What's it called? Nags?
Knaggs. Hand-built guitars. Their build quality is mind-blowing. And they put out a Billy Morrison signature a couple of weeks ago, about 5 weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
So I had the prototype for that, which is noiseless P90s. And I also have my Gibson signature. I have a Gibson Les Paul signature, which is the JB59 humbuckers. So those are the two guitars that I mainly gravitated towards. However, thanks to my friendship with Steve Vai, I have a fair few gems knocking around,
right?
And they always got grabbed to do the solos.
Okay. Wow, interesting. So why? Just like be able to the faster action and like
no the set the tone. I mean, if it depends on some of the solos that I would use the rhythm pickup on the Les Paul, but it depends. It's mainly whammy bar if I need if I need some of those harmonics and whammies
and the gem
faster guitar.
It's got the sustainer built into it too, so you could probably do some cool stuff with that as well.
The gem?
Don't gems have the sustainers built into them? Oh, no, well, that's the PC-1. That's the Jackson PC-1. So Phil Collins has the sustainer built in.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but Steve has sustainers on a lot of those gem guitars. I thought they were coming stock now.
Not the one. Well, none of mine are stock.
Nah.
All of my gems, he had them built for me.
Oh, nice.
It's kind of crazy. I have one that has my Gibson profile neck on it.
Oh, that's awesome. So it feels like your normal guitar.
Yeah.
It's actually nice to hear that you played your signature guitar on the record, because, like, you know, a lot of the guys that, you know, just, oh, I got my signature guitar, but then they're playing a Tele or a Strat or something.
And, no. My new Nag, a lot of my rhythm sound is P90. It's that vintage P90 sound. So, yeah, that's what I'm going
to
grab.
Yeah. It's like Paul Stanley, I asked him, was like, you know, you're playing your Iceman live. Did you use them to track the, you know, Monster or like Sonic movies? Like, oh, no, I had my 59 Sunburst. And I'm like, what the fuck's the point?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Sweet. Brand new record. This is great. The Morrison Project. Go and pick it up. It's coming out. You can pre-order it now wherever you get your music. April 19th on TLG and Virgin Music Group. And, of course, watch the latest music video for Drowning, which is amazing. Good stuff. Hopefully we'll get that big show at MSG. Hopefully somebody will front up the cash. And, you know, we won't get Ozzy on Pro Tools. We'll get him in person for one last gig or something. Have you talked to him about that? You know, like maybe doing a couple. Is he still open to doing some shows? Or he's like, nah, that's it.
You'd have to ask Ozzy that.
Yeah, I'd love to. You got to connect us.
Yeah.
So with this record, I mean, like, what's the goal with this? Are you like chasing sales? Are you chasing, like, you know, the charts? Like, is, or is this just like a passion project? You're like, no, I want to get a statement out there. I want people to know who Billy Morrison is for, you know, one more time.
There's no goal for charts or any of that shit. All I want is to leave a body of 12 songs that says who I am.
Yeah.
That's it. The day of release, April 19th, my job is done.
Right.
That record will be out there for the world long after I've gone. And that's my statement. And I don't care about any of the rest. I'm certainly not chasing a solo career.
Yeah.
God, no. That sounds awful.
No, you don't want your name on the marquee?
I don't care about that shit.
Yeah.
Well, if I cared about that, I would have lived my whole life differently. What I care about is going to bed at night, putting my head on the pillow and knowing that I'm a decent guy. Right. That's what I care about in life. Music is, I'm fortunate to make it, but I certainly don't have designs at my age of becoming some kind of solo artist. No. Right.
Well, at least you got a priority straight. You know, a lot of people will go to bed resentful at the end of the day. They're like, why the fuck isn't that me up there?
That's right.
You know?
And I don't want to live like that. I live in gratitude and harmony.
Yeah. And you're going to be competing with Billy because the 40th anniversary of Rebel Yell comes out on April 26th. So you get Billy Morrison and then you get Billy Idol the next week.
And no one in their right minds wants to compete with Billy Idol because he's an icon.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Of course, you guys are going out on the road. You're going to be doing a bunch of gigs, kicking off May 3rd, West Palm Beach in Florida, Sunfest, running through to June. There's lots of cool tour dates. Do you guys plan on celebrating that record on the road this year?
So honestly, we don't know, and no one tells us anything.
Right.
The way that works is people say, oh, you're playing West Palm Beach. I don't know. They say, you need to hold from May 1st to May 31st. And then you need to hold October this to November this. And that's all my calendar shows.
Yeah.
And then when I get on the plane, someone tells me where we're flying to. I swear to God. Because if I sat on social media and went, oh, we're playing in West Palm Beach. We're going to Toronto.
Yeah.
My mind would explode. So it's a difficult thing for other people to understand, but we have no idea where we're playing or what we're doing.
Right. So, but even that, it's like, you know, do you have to know the entire record, like, just in case he decides, hey, let's play, like, you know, the track 7 tonight or, you know?
So we do need to know an awful lot of songs, and you would be quite surprised to know just how many we do know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also a professional band. So if Billy woke up and went, we need to play Catch My Fall tomorrow.
I was just going to say, yeah.
We would all learn it within a day. And then we would go to sound check and we'd play Catch My Fall and Billy would go, that's great. And then we play Catch My Fall. That's how it works.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like,
so yeah, when we're on the road, we're constantly getting emails going, Billy wants to play this. And we're like, oh fuck. Okay.
You got to go on YouTube, find a tutorial video.
That's exactly what you do. There's 17 year old kids out there on YouTube going, this is how it goes.
Right.
And we're like this. Okay.
That's oh man, I'm trying to remember who the heck it was. Oh, it was Nuno Bettencourt. Nuno Bettencourt was telling me, he's like, the amount of times I had to go on YouTube and relearn one of my solos from like some kid that was doing it better than I could ever redo it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. And you know what? It's funny you said that. You know, you just get on the plane, you go wherever they tell you. It's like so many fans, they just think that, you know, you oh, they're going to West Palm Beach or they're going here. It's like, oh, did you go to this place or did you go to that place? Did you explore the city? Like, no, I got into town. I went to the venue. I ate, took a shit, went on stage, and I fucked off.
And you know what, Jeremy, I've thought about this a lot, and I understand it. Let's use West Palm Beach as an example. That person lives, works, and breathes in West Palm Beach.
Absolutely.
So when Billy Idol comes to West Palm Beach, it's a day. It's a special day.
Yep.
Now, the fact that Billy Idol was in Buffalo the day before and Montana the day after.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. So I understand that. It's just difficult when they ask you questions to explain to them, we don't know.
Yeah.
Like we don't know. Unless you're like our drummer, who reads the itinerary, has an endemic memory, or whatever the word is for that, and he'll tell you, oh, yes, we're going to Buffalo here, and then we fly at 3 o'clock in the morning down here. So we ask him a lot of things, right, what we're doing.
Yeah, but after all these years of touring, you must have like a certain like restaurant you like in a certain city you'll see, and like, oh, we're going to Cincinnati. Oh, I fucking love that rib place or something, you know?
Every town. Once we're flying, once we get on the plane, we say like, you know, okay, we're going to Chicago. And again, our drummer will say, that's the place where we had that great seafood and we just make the reservation.
There you go.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured at this point, it's like, you kind of have to have a list of like favorite things and like, you know, I would think.
Everywhere in the world, we know where we're eating and what museum we're going to go see.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
It's like you come to Montreal and fans are like, oh, did you try Poutine yet? Well, I've only toured here for the last 25 fucking years. What do you think? Exactly. No, I've never tried smoked meat.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Give me that mic for sure.
Yep. Look, it's been great to meet you and talk to you. This brand new record is going to be fantastic. I'm encouraging everybody to go and pre-order it and pick it up. And yeah, this is awesome. I'm going to have to check out your signature guitar and maybe come up to a show and check one out.
100%, Jeremy, and thank you for your support. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you taking the time to chat. Best of luck with the record, and tell Ozzy I said hi. Long lost friends.
I will do. I'll call him now.
The Jeremy White Show.
Get exclusive interviews and bonus content on demand now. Visit youtube.com/Jeremy White Show.